Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining future of education, one inspired story at a time. Goodness gracious, it's so early in the morning here in Australia. I cannot get my words together. Today I have a wonderful guest. We've had her before, beautiful Bo, my friend Bo, who's a horticulturist. And we did talk to her with Vic when she was giving us information about starting a community garden. I've invited Bo back again today because I'm really curious about her perspective on homeschooling her granddaughter. And I really love talking to homeschoolers because all of them do things a little bit differently, the timetabling and how they put things together and the experiences that children have when they're living learning. And Bo has been homeschooling her granddaughter since 2022 and has a beautiful understanding of the world and heart-centered information needs to be shared with her granddaughter, and her granddaughter is amazing. So welcome back, Bo. Yay!
Thank you, my beautiful friend. I am so honored to be here with you again. What do you want to ask me?
Oh, you know me, I do like a chat, so I've got lots of questions that I could possibly ask you. Well, let's just start with why do you think it's actually important to homeschool your granddaughter? I mean, let's start with the why.
Okay, well, it was not my decision. I am not the decision maker. My daughter is very involved in my granddaughter's world and her life. And to be honest with you, my daughter started homeschooling Nia when she was about 3 or 4. And so she had an early jump on it. And my daughter's intention was to always homeschool her and not have her go to public school. And, you know, during, are we allowed to say COVID-19?
Yeah, of course. You can say anything.
During that, you know, my daughter had a lot of time to be with Nia. And then as things sort of settled down in that realm, my daughter and her partner got very busy with their business. They're entrepreneurs and they do mindfulness with addicts and different Native American tribes, and they became very, very busy. So my daughter approached me and asked me if I would like to teach Nia, and I jumped at it. And I'll tell you a little secret. When Nia was about 4, maybe 5, but I think she's about 4, she came to me. We were sitting on a couch and she looked very serious at me. And she said, "You know what, Yaya?" That's what she calls me, Yaya. "You know what, Yaya? You're the only one that really gets me." And so when I was, it's true though, because of our similarities in knowing about the elementals and dragons and all the different, yes. Anyway, so when my daughter asked me, I jumped at it. And even though I'm not a proper school teacher, I'm not officially trained in school teaching, it was what I originally went to college for. But I got married, yada, 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 the story. And I quit going to college and I jumped back in and did the horticulture realm. But I feel like I'm a teacher. I mean, basically on my show Down and Dirty with Vic, that's what we're teaching people, how to live sustainably, sovereignly, and through how they can do that through the plant realm and just sustainable practices. So I'll leave it at that.
I believe everyone's a teacher. You don't need a piece of paper to be a teacher. You know, everybody can teach anything, whether it be cooking in the kitchen. There's just so much things, so many things that you can teach. You don't need necessarily need a degree. So I think that's beautiful. Okay, so now that she's getting a little bit older, you know, she's almost 12. It's just that time flies, isn't it? So how does the structure work? Like, what does your day look like? How long do you teach or work, or what how does it work?
We are together for 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. And some people might gasp at that, but you and I have talked about before about how actually the whole globe used to be very agricultural in their lifestyles. And if children did go to school, it was more like 2 hours a day. And then everything, all their life skills were basically learned at home. So Nia and I, as far as the structure go, we read and she'll read a page, then I read a page. And it works out quite well. And her reading skills are amazing. And we're doing She's going to seventh grade. We're probably doing about eighth, maybe some ninth grade reading, as the officials say call it. She's a great speller. We do spelling, we do math. However, there are math skills that she can use for life. There's no, she, we know she doesn't want to be a rocket scientist. As a matter of fact, she's quite the entertainer, and she's a fantastic dancer and a singer, and that's really what she wants to do. So that might kind of segue into the unschooling, because I'm very a strong proponent of unschooling, which puts a lot of emphasis on the children deciding what excites them and what they want to learn, and they do so much better. And as you've said many times, Teresa, kids learn when they play too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they remember when they play because they're actually embodying it. I would agree with that for sure. And it's amazing how I was having this conversation with Kevin last week. It's amazing how so many people say homeschooling, it's alternative education. And it's like, actually, this is the way that's always been. Everyone always raised their own children and taught them at home. Sure, some of the families might have brought tutors in to teach them, or some of the children might have gone to group activities in the village or in the town to learn a little bit more. But predominantly, a lot of the learning happened, your life skills in particular, happened in the household. Because of our society today, and poor parents are out there surviving, working, trying to pay the bills, there's not always two parents at home. Or even one parent at home these days. So, you know, the shift in their society has really made a huge change in having to hand your children over to virtual strangers, really, to raise your child for you, whether it be daycare from birth in some instances, to schooling. So that's really interesting. So, question then, how do you keep a young girl that age motivated?
We've had our hurdles, but we always seem to get over them. She can reset herself quite easy. If something, I used to get triggered, and I had to take a summer break last year to really dive deep into why was I triggered about certain things when she didn't want to sit up straight, or I'm going, wait a minute, that's just exactly what they teach you in public school. One thing I haven't mentioned is that we don't even live in the same state. And so we teach on Zoom, which is
Teaching
very interesting
online.
online, on Zoom. And but I've spent quite a bit of time. I spend extended holidays with them, and I go to visit them quite often. So I've taught her things like hand sewing, crocheting. Every week we are in the kitchen, either prepping food, baking, And I ask her what she would like. What do you want to cook this week? What do you want to bake? It's difficult to cro I have to say it is difficult to crochet online together, so that's more of an in-person activity. We've attempted gardening. That's another little difficult one. And that is not Nia's fault. It's more the adult in the situation. Anyway, that's another thing. I keep forgetting to ask her because we're on break right now, how their garden's doing. My daughter wanted me to teach her financial literacy because we're living in a real world where most kids don't even know how to balance their bank account, which I have my own opinions about the financial system, but it is what it is, and that's what we're living in. So we've done that. She really enjoys drawing, so we've gotten into drawing, and she's getting really good at it. So I think having the child self-guide is important, although there's certain parameters. My daughter's She's my boss, that she still wants me to adhere to, so I do.
Well, that's what I get it's all about, I suppose, because it's aligning with the values of the family and the parents. So I can certainly appreciate that. Funny story, I went through a drive-through to get a cup of coffee a couple of weeks ago, and I handed cash to the young girl at the teller, and she couldn't give me change. She did not know how to give me change. She was quite flustered. And in the end, she asked me if I had a card I could tap, and I said, no, I actually have cash. And I had to help her work out how to give me the change. And I really felt for her, but that's the state of where we're headed. That being able to add up in your head, it has just sort of been lost, really. So it's pretty interesting. We've spoken before about passion projects. And getting a little project or doing many units of work. Are there any that have worked really well for you both that you're willing to share?
Well, there's two that come to mind, and you were the inspiration for one. I think it's been at least a year or a little bit longer where, with your girls in school, you had them design a playground for people that had not special needs, but help me out here, Teresa.
Well,
What's
the activity was design your dream playground. Nothing's off the limits, and some of the children that play in the playground might have special abilities like levitation
abilities.
or anything like that. So something that they might think is supernatural, if they had children with these abilities in the playground, how would they design it? And I just kept it very open-ended. Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
It was. And so that inspired me. And I asked Nia if she would like to do a playground, which ended up being more like an amusement park for off-world neighbors. So we dug deep into the Pleiadians and the Lyrans and the Orions and a lot of the information online. Of course, it's somebody's opinion, and all of the artistic renderings are what the artist sees in their mind's eye. But it gave her a jumping off ground to be super creative. It was so much fun. We somewhere in my files, we actually drew it together because we were together at the time when we decided to let's draw it, put it on paper. And it was so much fun. And then the other thing we did before that, we started working on this probably 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, is we wrote a book together. It's still on the editor's desk, which is both of us. We decided to edit it together. It's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forest. And it's a fantasy comedy. where Yaya and her granddaughter Rose, which isn't my granddaughter's name, but I am Yaya. We go on an escapades in fairyland. I'll just leave it at that. So I'll let you know if it ever gets published. But
That
we've
sounds
drawn
amazing.
pictures. And so we're going back to edit it. And she started, we probably started when she was 9, and she's almost 12, like you said. And she's going, oh, I don't like that, because she's older and her vocabulary is different, her mindset is different. So she's very grateful we're going into it, because she feels now it will be more for an older audience. We recently read a series of books called The Enchanted Forest Chronicles. I'm remiss, but I don't remember the author's name. And now we're reading the Percy Jackson series by Rick Riordan. And she was excited about that, because she was telling me that on the Disney Channel, Roll Eyes, there is a series called Percy Jackson. And it's about a young teenage boy who's half human and half Olympian. So his father was an Olympian god, and the hijinks go from there. But so we're reading that now. So she really enjoys reading. And you know, they say people that like to read are good spellers, and she's a great speller. However, it does not apply. I love to read, but that spelling does not apply to me. I'm not the best speller. Anyway, yeah, so those are the two things that come to mind.
Oh, they're great. That sounds fantastic. I found that when you leave things open-ended, and they can use their imagination, and it doesn't have to be, in a certain box or a certain way, the things that they tap into is pretty amazing. And let's face it, all of this fantasy stuff, it's in all of the television programs that they're watching, and it's online, it's sort of everywhere, and they're sort of immersed in it. They're swimming in a soup of it. But very rarely is it accepted or really discussed in a school setting anyway, in that sort of space. But I remember, as a very young child, I devoured all of the Enid Blyton books. The Wishing Tree and things like that. And my little imagination would go crazy when I go in the garden. I always wanted to build a little fairy garden and do all of those sorts of things. Yeah, my imagination was running away. So I love the idea that you're creating a book and actually building it together. I think that's a beautiful activity to do. There's just so many things that you could do with that, for sure, particularly with illustrating it at the same time. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so speaking of gardens and outside, because I know that this is your passion as well, we have talked before about Anastasia and the Ringing Cedars of Russia. And I know I keep bringing this series up, but for people who have not read them, really highly recommend it, because it gives you a paradigm shift of the way that we do things. It's the energy of the words, the frequency of the words when you read them, it changes you. In a positive way, it really does. It just speaks directly to your heart. I love it, the philosophy. Has that influenced the way that you teach and you work?
I recently, yes, but I'm on book 7 myself right now. There's 9 books in the series. So I can't say it's influenced me the entire time, because I was unaware of the books up until, oh, I don't know. I heard about them during COVID, but I didn't start reading them until probably, I don't know, 6 months ago or so. But one of the things I like is the school that they talk about, and you know the name, I don't remember the name of it.
The kin schools, the Chittenden schools.
Those ones, yes. I know the kin, yes. But they are actually basically run by the children. And we were talking about how what a child can learn in 10 years in public school, they can learn in 1 year in these schools.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. So
It's
it's
amazing. Without all of
amazing.
the distractions, you don't have to do an assembly, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, and they just cut straight to the chase. and they're so motivated having older children teach younger children and vice versa, because you can learn a lot from younger children. And of course play fits into it. And it's skills that you need for real life, so they see the purpose of it. The Chaitanyan schools have been around, particularly in Russia, for a long time, but they are spreading across the planet, just like forest schools are as well. I really love it. I love the concept of it, and I love their philosophy on problem solving. You need to be able to solve your own problems. And I also love how particular they are around using language. So, in Western society, we say that's incorrect. You're wrong. You've made a mistake. And we actually have these words in our vocabulary. In those schools, they just don't speak that way. It's not you're incorrect, or you've gone the wrong way. It's just turn left, turn right, go up, go down. They actually just change direction. And so these young children just don't even have these negative, judgmental words in their vocabulary. And so they don't have that barrier there. They just, if something doesn't work, they're a wasp. They just go in another direction and try another way. It's the whole philosophy of it is just amazing. I'd really love to go and see it in action one day. In fact, I'm interviewing someone shortly who has been to these places and works with them. So I can't wait to find out more information from her as well.
How exciting. And imagine the adult that comes out of that kind of learning.
Oh.
That's the whole thing, is that we're doing this for our children. And we could get into the whole background about public schools, and we don't even need to go there, but it definitely wasn't for the benefit of the child. And the kin schools are. The forest schools are. My daughter and I were doing something called Tinker Garden. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but that's taking preschool children in the parks, unless it's extremely inclement weather, and the kids are you're outside the entire time of the preschool session. So it and these things have been going on in Europe. Actually, they've been going on for a long time, the forest schools and the outdoor schools. And didn't we talk about being out in the sunshine and getting all of the information, because the light is information, absorbed into your body, accelerates your learning too. Just like
It
a
does.
plant. A plant accelerates its growth when it's warmer and the sun is on it. So does a child, so does any human.
Fresh air, fresh water. I feel like that's definitely the way to go. And Tinker Gardens are a great idea. I always wanted all of our schools to have Tinker Sheds. So have a bartering barn so children can make and grow and barter with the community, but also have a little Tinker Shed so they can go in and build and get retirees in to come and help them fix things. I can just picture it. It would just be amazing. And the other thing that really appealed to me about the Chaitanyan schools was their philosophy of motivation. So their philosophy of motivation, their emphasis is on the service to others. So if they learn anything, they have to understand the soul and the aspirations and the thoughts of another individual, and they're there to help other people. So if they're learning maths, for instance, it might be to build something for the community or for the school. And that way, the motivation is not just self-serving and about themselves. They're really keen to immerse themselves and help other people, which then brings, it raises children who become adults that are really looking to help other people. If everybody did what they could to help other people in their community, we wouldn't have the world that we have today, where it's just let's take another selfie and be self-absorbed. It's a really beautiful philosophy that they have, problem solving and the motivation, but it's focused heavily around relationships, because in my opinion, personally, relationships are everything. Relationships, you cannot teach and learn without really strong relationships. I feel like it's the underlying key for everything. And that whole relationship is not just between other people, it's relationship with the earth, with Mother Nature, with country, or the relationship with yourself. You really need to know who you are, what your strengths are, and have that learning of true self. And I feel like that is hugely missing. And that's why we have a lot of distracted, disjointed, anxious children today, because they don't know who they are themselves. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this swing that's going full circle and coming back towards this connection to self and nature. I feel like it's beautiful. What do you think about that? Is that resonating with you?
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, I am Nature Girl. That's my email address is Nature Girl. So, yeah, I t I'll totally agree that being in nature, yes, the whole nine, what you just said. And one thing I'll just say real quick, because I know where our time's going to be running out here, is people ask me all the time, what about socialization?
Oh, yeah.
And I have to tell you one thing, my granddaughter is not shy. She never has been. She used to sing Adele songs, like belt them out when she was 3 years old to anyone that would hear her. But she goes to dance, and she has done when she was little, but then they moved, and so she's been in since she was 6 years old to the same studio, and she has plenty of socialization, but she can talk to any kid on the block and become a friend with them. So I know part of that is her own personality, but when people homeschool or unschool their kids, there's always ways to be socialized. It sounds like you're training a dog, but
That's very true. Well, the socialization conversation does come up every single time that you talk about homeschooling. People will say, but what about socialization? You need to go to a school to be socialized. There are so many different ways to connect with other people or other children. Sports and clubs and dance and drama, and it's so many different things that you can do. So it's just a matter of consciously making sure that the child's not at home and isolated, and that they are being able to be socialized. I feel like that's probably the difference, really. Yeah,
I
I would
agree.
agree with that. So, final question for today then. If children were able to self-direct their learning today, because I know that that's what you're helping your granddaughter do, to help self-direct her own learning, what do you think education would possibly look like?
Much different than it does now. The rigors of being to school, go and the bell rings and you have to go to class and stand in line, and in my opinion, that was all conceived to make good little workers, which totally takes away that creativity, imagination that we were talking about earlier. But as far as the positive part of that, it's just so much can come from that. This, if somebody is interested in something, just like a friend of ours has told us, if something excites you, you know you're going the right way. So if a child is excited, like I said, with the book and the playground, she just excelled. So I think as schools aspired to do that, even if they started with baby steps, it would make a world of difference.
I think you'd have a lot of happy people too, not dragging themselves, drudging them, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. They want to. They bounce out of bed because they want to. They want to go and learn and be inspired. Wouldn't that be lovely? That'd be lovely, Bo.
Happier teachers too.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think they would be teachers. You'd just be a mentor, wouldn't you? You'd be the guide on the side. You wouldn't necessarily
Yes,
have
you
to
would. A
actually
guide.
teach them
Yes, guide on
anything.
the side. I like that.
I do too. Oh my
Yep.
gosh, I'm looking at the time. We run out of time again. Goodness gracious. Thank you so much for
Oh,
coming
how does
on
that
and chat.
happen?
I don't know. Well, you know me. We can, you and I, when we get together, we can chat for hours, which I absolutely love.
Indeed,
Thank you
indeed.
so much for coming and sharing your perspective on homeschooling. Absolutely love, love, love it. And for everybody else that's listening, thanks for joining us on All Learning Reimagined next week. We'll see you next week. Until then, please go out and explore, experience, and express. Go out and live learning. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Bo.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this. The future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system. We are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.